My name is Hunter Hambrick, one of the pastors here at Providence, and so glad that you are here. Good to see your smiling faces this July 4th weekend, and hope that you are able to get away this week and get a little bit of rest. And I hope you're able to pray for our country, too, because Lord knows after Thursday night, we need some prayer in this country. Got a lot of stuff going on, but more seriously, we'd like to ask your prayer for some of our family, our church familia, who are going through a real crisis right now. This is Will and Yolanda Cruz. Many of you know Will from serving on the worship team here on Sunday morning, one of the most passionate men of God I've ever met, and his beautiful wife, Yolanda. They live down in Guatemala, and Will has kind of been back and forth raising funds, closing up his business here in the States, his tree cutting business, and they've actually, Will has been living with the Fuchs, and Laura brought to our attention, and Will shared last week that Yolanda went in for a doctor checkup last week and had some irregular symptoms that she was experiencing. I went into the doctor for a checkup to see what was going on, and they actually discovered a tumor the size of a melon on her uterus. And so she is actually tomorrow having emergency hysterectomy surgery. And church, we are looking to raise $3,000 to support this brother and sister in need for time off, travel expenses, a lot of different challenges that they're facing. And Laura put together a GoFundMe. You can scan that QR code if you feel led to give. Any amount makes a difference. Right now, we want to help them and support them. Can you imagine? Some of you can. Some of you have been in her shoes. You've gone in for a checkup and heard some news that changes your life in a moment. And one of the things that I have been challenged by and blessed by Providence is the generosity of this church. And so thank you for being a generous church, not just to kind of our general tithes and offerings and expenses and salaries and programming. All of that is good and important. But ultimately, we want to step up to support a brother and sister in need. So thank you for supporting them and for being such a generous church. On your seat when you came in, you should have gotten a Read, Pray, Gather guide. And this is quarter three in year one of our three-year journey to read through the entire Bible. We are going at a snail's pace through the Old Testament and then the New Testament twice. And what I love about this Bible reading plan is that it's not just a Bible reading plan. This is an opportunity for us to hear God's voice, read to hear, pray to listen, and gather to share. The way I like to think about it is we're looking for a word from the Word. And so when we're reading the Bible, it's not just an intellectual exercise. It's actually an opportunity for us to encounter the living Spirit of God. And so Pastor Ray has done a great job this time around adding in some Saturday reflection questions. And so if you've not been a part of this before, basically the way it works is Monday through Friday, there's two chapters, which is a more manageable pace than a lot of other Bible reading plans out there. If you've ever done a plan in a year, try to go through the Bible, and then by like February, you're done. This is two chapters a day. You do one in the morning, one at night, do it on your lunch break, whatever works for you, but make space for God. And then on Saturdays, they've actually carved out some catch-up time and some reflection time. So there's some questions on there that I encourage you to use. And you may be vacationing this summer, but don't vacation from God's word. Let's lean in and be a part of all that God is doing. And last but not least, wanted to share that next week, everybody say next week, we have a brand new sermon series that's starting called Summertime Psalms. And I love this tagline, reconnecting our hearts to God's heart. And we are really in for a treat because we're going to get to hear from some folks that we don't normally hear from here at Providence. We're going to get to hear from Brenna Mack, is preaching in a couple weeks. We're going to hear from Brother Joseph Chumbella, one of our elders. I don't know where Brother Joseph is. Saw him out in the hallway earlier. And Bishop Thunder Ray Brim is bringing the word August 4th. So it's going to be really, really great. You're not going to want to miss out on that. Even if you're out of town, tune in, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, go to our church website. You can join in and hear those messages. Well, this week we are closing out a 10-week series on the book of Colossians, and I have been super blessed by this study, and we want to do things a little bit differently this week. We're going to kind of break down the last 11 verses of chapter 4 that Jocelyn read for us a moment ago, take some time to unpack it. But really what we want to do is create a space where we can reflect all that we've learned and heard over the past 10 weeks. It's one thing to be a hearer of the word. It's another thing to be a doer of the word. James says in James chapter 1 that if you're a hearer only, you actually deceive yourself. But if you're a doer, you will be blessed in the doing. And so I believe that this morning, as we hear and we reflect and we kind of digest and metabolize all that God has taught us through this wonderful letter, it's going to be a blessing for us. So on your seats, you should have received this little Colossians packet. Could you wave this at me if you have it? Go ahead and pick it up. Wave it at me. Wave it at me. Awesome. We only have 100 of these, so if you don't have one on your seat, be generous, share with someone next to you, and in just a few minutes, we're going to break up into small groups of 3 or 4, and we're going to discuss some questions that are in this packet. So, all the introverts in the room, you're welcome. I'm giving you a heads up that you can turn to page 10 and see the reflection questions and start marinating on how you might respond to some of these questions. For the rest of us, though, you can turn to page 2 of the packet and you'll see the big idea there of this sermon series, which is submission to Christ's rule frees us to live for him. Submission to Christ's rule frees us to live for him. If we had to summarize the book of Colossians in a single sentence, we would say submission to Christ's rule frees us to live for him. It's kind of counterintuitive, but it's the way the kingdom of God works. The last are first, the rich are poor. Those who are ruling actually should serve. And when we are bound, we're actually free. This is the beauty of the gospel, that submission to Christ's rule frees us to live for him. In fact, the letter can best be summed up by the verses on page 3 of your packet, Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. Paul writes this, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him." Everybody say, continue. "Rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." Man, we have a deficit of gratitude in our culture. Overflowing with thankfulness, not a little bit of thankfulness, overflowing with gratitude for all that God has done, all of his faithfulness to us in season and out of season. These are the sort of lives that we get to live when we submit our hearts and our minds and our bodies and our neighborhoods and our communities and our families and our churches and our workplaces to King Jesus. Not only are you overflowing with thankfulness, but there's kind of a warning as well. See to it that no one takes you captive. Everybody say captive. Through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Praise God for that. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. His fullness has created our fullness, our maturity, our completeness. He is the head over every power and authority. If you want to know what Colossians is all about, those four verses about sum it up. Christ is supreme over all things. Therefore, we should build our lives in and on him. And last but not least, there's this call to resist the hollow and deceptive ideologies of our time, which wage war for our soul. Two of the particularly tempting ideologies the folks in Colossae were battling back then were a very early form of Gnosticism, and pages 5 and 6 provide a great definition of Gnosticism and syncretism. We want time to break those down, but if you've never heard those words before, you're like, Gnosta, what? You can look there to see exactly what that means. But the basic idea is that these competing ideologies, or what we might call worldviews, were in the air, and they stood diametrically opposed to the gospel. The good news of King Jesus bringing his kingdom here to bear on earth through his life, death, resurrection, and coming return. And these two ideas, Gnosticism and syncretism, were so problematic, not because they weren't true, but because they were only half true. They were only part of the story. Today, 2,000 years later in Denver, Colorado, we are every bit as tempted to believe smaller, lesser, and weaker ideas. I think I hear this all the time in phrases in our culture, these ideologies that want to sneak into our heart that sound good on the surface, but ultimately are hollow and deceptive. Be true to yourself. You do you. Follow your heart. postmodern expressive individualism seems to be in the air like never before. Pages 7 and 8 break down those two worldviews down further. The gospel, air quotes, of postmodern expressive individualism that Josh taught us just a few weeks ago, and the true gospel of Jesus Christ and his kingdom. But whether you were here for those weeks or not, I think the best way to sum up everything that I'm trying to say is by St. Augustine. He said this almost 2,000 years ago, there can only be two basic loves, the love of God unto the forgetfulness of self, or the love of self unto the forgetfulness and denial of God. Which master will you serve? Will you follow yourself, or will you submit to the Savior? Though our culture puts a postmodern spin on it, self-adoration has been humanity's problem all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Consequently, the most hollow and deceptive philosophy of all, whether in our day and age, back then in Colossae or any time since, ultimately the biggest problem that we face is not Gnosticism, is not syncretism, is not even postmodern expressive individualism. It is the self. In the world, in the inimitable words of Michael Jackson, I'm starting with a man in the mirror. I'm looking at my own worst enemy is me. And more than love of self, we are about love of God here at Providence Bible Church. We love God together. We love our church family together. We love our neighbor together. We are all about living loved, receiving and embracing the unconditional, total free acceptance of our Heavenly Father, who welcomes us and embraces us. And even while we were his enemies, died for us. This is the gospel. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, we want to live love fully and completely, receiving God's affection and embrace. But we don't want to stop there. We want to move onward into community, a school of fellow believers who together love God, love our church family, and love our neighbor together. And I think this is so crucial to keep in mind, because ultimately the Colossians weren't fighting against some obscure esoteric philosophy. No, no, no. This was a real letter for real people. Actual followers of Jesus Christ living in their time and place, just like you, just like me, trying to be faithful in the way that we follow our Savior. And nothing makes that clearer than the way this letter ends. As with many of his letters, Colossians ends with Paul doing a Holy Ghost roll call to anybody and everybody. And while we don't know much about these people's lives, we do know a good bit about where they lived. We call this letter Colossians, but really it was a circular letter, because Paul, writing in prison back in Rome, is actually sending this to a wider audience who are living in a region called the Lycus River Valley. And so the letter was addressed to Colossae, but ultimately it was meant to go north to Hierapolis and west to Laodicea. It almost be like today if Paul were to write a letter to Northeast Denver. Hey, I want you to send this up to Thornton. I got to make sure Hudson and Bailey Jan's here. They really need this letter. And then I want to go west to Arvada, these different parts of the region, only 10, 12 miles away, not very far at all. Here's a photo of actual ruins you can visit today where archaeologists unearthed from this region. This is pretty close to the type of home that these churches would have gathered in during the very first few decades after Christ's death. Pretty amazing, huh? Still there today. Again, this was a real letter written to real people. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 through 18, includes a cast of characters, the dirty dozen, as I like to call them. Tychicus, the letter carrier. Onesimus, the runaway slave, who's mentioned also in Philemon. Aristarchus, one of Paul's fellow prisoners. Barnabas, who's called the son of encouragement in the book of Acts. He went on several missionary journeys. John Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark. Pretty big deal. Jesus, called Justice. So there you have it. It's not our Jesus. It's a different Jesus. It's kind of a common name. It's like Paul back then. Epaphras, who we'll discuss more in a bit. Luke, the doctor who offered the Gospel of Luke as well as Acts. Demas, who 2 Timothy says started off well, but this is a warning for us, eventually fell in love with the world and consequently fell away from the faith. Demas started off strong, but did not end his race well. Nympha was a female leader in the early church who hosted a church in her house, much like the one we just saw. Archippus, who's called a fellow soldier in Philemon, and last but not least, our boy Paul. We won't take time to go through each and every one of these folks now, but even just putting their name on the screen just is really striking to me, of just the intensely relational nature of the Apostle Paul's ministry. We say it like this at Providence, that there's no significant change without a significant relationship. We are all on this transformation journey of following after King Jesus, but there's no such thing as solo spirituality in the Christian faith. We are not ourselves by ourselves. We need one another. And so if I'm going to be following after God, I can't just download a sermon and go camping in the mountains. No, no, no. I need to show up here in the place with people who can be a part of my lives, because not only do I need them, they need me. You have a gift that you can offer the body of Christ. This is no critique of any particular model, but just last weekend I was visiting a church back home in Tennessee, and it's this sort of model where you kind of have just pastors on the stage with microphones. They would never ever dream of opening up microphones to hear from the congregation. What a novel idea. But here at Providence, we believe in the body of Christ, that the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, they exist to equip the body to do the work of the ministry. So that's why we open up to hear from one another, to encourage one another, because God speaks just as much to you as any pastor or elder in our church. We're going on this journey together. We need each other. And so I encourage you, if maybe you're new to Providence, you've been kind of checking us out this spring, we're so glad that you're here. I just want to encourage you, wherever you are on this journey of following Jesus, that you would just take a next step going deeper into community. Maybe that for you is joining a community group, checking one out, serving on a team, volunteering at Live Different Recovery. My goodness, at the summer jam this Friday night, that was absolutely amazing. There's so many different ways that you can get involved here at the church. And if you're curious, you can talk to myself, Emmanuel, Raheel, Joseph, Ray. We would love, love, love to help you take your next step to being a part of this community, because we need each other. But three of the people mentioned in this text deserve particular attention this morning. They are Tychicus, Epaphras, Epaphras, and Archippus. Let's look at them briefly now. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me, if you haven't already, to Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 through 18. Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 through 18. We're going to look briefly at these 11 verses, and we're going to see the importance of comforted hearts, the power of contending prayer, and the potential of completed callings. The importance of comforted hearts, the power of contending prayer, and the potential of completed callings. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 through 9, Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Man, what if we had folks from Providence who just like went out to Turkey to visit the chaplains and their sole purpose was, hey guys, I just want to encourage your hearts. How amazing would that be if we sent some team back to Caracas, Venezuela and met some of our friends who have migrated here, some of their family members. Hey, I'm here for no other reason, not trying to raise money, not trying to preach at you. I just want to encourage your heart. That's a picture of the kingdom of God. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they will tell you of everything that has taken place here. Paul calls Tychicus and Onesimus faithful and beloved brothers. I love that description, because faithful and beloved reminds me a lot of our mission here at Providence, to live as loved and devoted, loved and faithful followers of Jesus Christ, and love our neighbors to do the same. Beloved and faithful, fully loved and fully devoted. These are the kinds of people, little by little, day by day, who the Spirit of God is forming us to be. And it's these kind of people, those who are secure in their beloved adoptedness before the Father and are equally committed and devoted to the calling that he has placed on our lives. These are the people who have the kind of capacity that's required to comfort others. Because we're not worried about impressing or earning approval or trying to be something that we're not. No, we're so comfortable in our own skin that we can go and encourage anyone who needs the comfort that we have received from God the Father. That's what the faithful and the devoted do. They comfort and encourage those in need. And this is why I think the religion of self is particularly dangerous and, dare I say, damning. Because if we're not careful in our families, in our workplaces, in our CGs, in this sermon, hello, somebody, we can subtly shift to making everything about me, 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 me. Instead of realizing that God has made you on purpose, with a purpose, for a purpose, to be a blessing to those in need. And before we know it, not just our lives, but even the church, God help us, can turn into this bless me, serve me, teach me, feed me club. But every now and then, we need to press pause on the selfie button and say, hey, who can I bless? Who can I serve? Who can I help? Who can I teach? Who can I disciple, even as I have been blessed in God? Thank you, Sister Sherry. We're going to have a good time today, you and me. If Sister Sherry's here, like, I'm good. I can preach. I need about three more, though. I need about three more this morning. And when we do this, when we live this kind of way where it's not just all about me, 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 but I'm actually awake enough and alive enough and comfortable enough in who God has made me to be to get outside of me, Philippians 2 says we're being a lot like Jesus, the one who did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the nature of a servant. Verses 10 through 14, we see one of the most impactful but counterintuitive ways that we can serve, that we can bless, that we can give to our brothers and sisters in needs. And it's through, in verses 10 through 14, the power of contending prayer. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. We don't know if that was good instruction or bad instruction, but if he comes, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Paul has been comforted, so now he is calling the Colossians to comfort others. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers. Man, wished I had an Epaphras in my life. Who can you be an Epaphras for today, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Epaphras, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. Epaphras is a great baby name, by the way, too. You don't hear that too much, but could be yours for the picking, you know, be very unique. But do you want the capacity to encourage someone's heart? Do you long to be an Epaphras, an Epaphras for the Cruises, for our Venezuelan neighbors, for the young men who are getting shot up in Aurora this summer? Do you want to be someone who contends on behalf of the needs in your community? Then develop a prayer life. Get down on your knees, and there you'll discover a power you never could have had on your own two feet. Pray, intercede, and if, like me, you struggle to contend, you feel condemnation, actually, for the lack of prayer in your life, then be encouraged this morning. Because right now, someone greater than Epaphras is contending for you. Romans 8:34, who then is the one who condemns? Feel condemned about your prayer life this morning? No one. Christ Jesus doesn't even condemn. More than that, he was raised to life, and right now, everybody say right now, he is at the right hand of God interceding for us. Woo! This gets me excited this morning that when I feel weak in my faith, when I don't feel like I have the capacity to comfort others, I actually have a greater Epaphras who is contending and interceding on my behalf. So now I can surely do the same for others. Colossians 4 shows us the importance of comforted hearts, the power of contending prayer. And finally, in verses 15 through 18, we see the potential of completed callings. Paul and Timothy, his co-worker, write, "Give my greetings to the brothers of Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house." Where are all my ladies at? Man, Nympha. 2,000 years ago, a woman was leading a church. I'm so glad we got that issue figured out today. We solved it. 2,000 years ago, women were leading, and I'm so glad they are today, too. That is good. Oh, boy. All right. Send my email. Yeah, an email, eangulu@providencedenver.org. Shout out to the women. Thank you for those who lead and serve. Thank you for Katie Larson, by the way, here on sabbatical. Fearless Executive Director. Love you, Katie. You can also send your complaint for that to eangulu@providencedenver.org. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the Church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. Most scholars believe that was actually what we call Ephesians. We read Ephesians because it says to the Ephesians, but it was maybe to the Laodiceans. There's some controversy there, but the point is that this was a book that we most likely now call Ephesians. "And say to Archippus, this is where I want to end. See that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord." See that you fulfill the ministry you have received in the Lord. Hey, Archippus, I want you to fulfill the ministry that you received in the Lord. "I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you." I really want to end by focusing on Paul's instruction to Archippus. Verse 17, fulfill the ministry you have received in the Lord. What exactly was this ministry that this man received? We're not entirely sure, but we know that it was at least, at the very least, the ministry that all of us have received from the Lord. What is our mission as a church? That would be a really fascinating and maybe disheartening experience to go around this room and just like do a blindfolded test to see if I had to come with you, what is our mission as a church? What are we about as a church? What is the point of this Jesus thing after all? I hope somebody sooner or later would say Matthew 28. Verses 18 through 19, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." That's our mission as a church. If you're wondering what your life is about, Matthew 28, 18, verse 19, this summer you get it tattooed just right across your back, just like that. That's what your life is about, to live as fully loved, devoted followers of Jesus Christ and love our neighbors to do the same. All right, if that's our ministry, let me ask you this. What is at stake whenever we don't fulfill our ministry? What happens when we don't take seriously this commission that we've been given by God? I think Sister Sherry is right. Souls are at stake. Cities are at stake. Economies are at stake. There's this full flourishing vision of what the gospel means for our life, not just for our souls and our spirits, but for our bodies and our families and our communities. And so maybe you're a young person here today. I just want to ask you, who is a classmate you know who needs to know the hope and love of Jesus this summer? Maybe it's a next door neighbor, a relative, a friend, a coworker. Who is counting on you to fulfill the ministry that you have been given? Not by your parents, not by a boss, not by a pastor, not by any authority figure in your life, but from the Lord. A ministry that we have been given to be a disciple-making community of believers who follow after Jesus together. Come on, whose eternity has Christ entrusted to you to steward? Whoever it is, don't give up. Don't stop. Don't grow tired of doing good. Because even though this ministry has been entrusted to you, ultimately this ministry does not depend on you. because this is a ministry that we're all just, 4D is one of our core values here at this church. What you have heard and seen in me entrust to faithful men and women so that they may be able to teach others also. From Paul to faithful men to others who can teach others. This is four generations of gospel, disciple-making impact. That's the type of relay race marathon that we're on, that at the beginning of our life, at the end of our life, it's not just about my retirement or my vacation or what I can accumulate or my accolades. No, no, no. I'm grabbing this baton and I'm passing it on to the next generation who can continue to carry the torch of the gospel in a world that needs the hope that only Jesus gives. Don't grow weary. You can fulfill your ministry. How do I know this? Because Philippians 1:6 says, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you, Damien, Katie Fisher, Lori Foster, he will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. Come on, Archippus. Christ is inviting you, calling you, wooing you to complete the call you've been given. Don't be like Demas and fall in love with this present world. It's not worth it. I promise you're not going to get to heaven and say, you know what? I should have gone to brunch one more time. You're not going to wish that you had been lukewarm like the Laodiceans. Be like Jesus, the one who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The good gospel work that you're doing in your classroom, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, at Cross Purpose, on your soccer team, it didn't start with you, so it sure won't stop with you. One way or another, God is going to be faithful to you. He is going to bring to completion the good work that he started in this world. The question is, will you stick along for the ride? Will you stay in the game, Archippus? When you get distracted like Demas, maybe you're hurting like Archippus, maybe you're doubting like Thomas, I want you to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. And if nothing else, verse 18 tells us to remember Paul. Remember his chains. I was thinking about that this week, and I bet Paul hated being in prison. He says in Philippians that, hey, I realize that what's happening to me is actually serving to advance the gospel. But it couldn't have been fun. It couldn't have been his idea of a good time. And in times of difficulty and moments and days and months and seasons, and for some of you, maybe it's been years where you feel like you're slugging it out in the Christian life. I want you to take comfort in your affliction through the afflictions of those who have gone before you, through those who have suffered. Maybe this summer the best thing you could do for your spiritual life is read up a biography of a missionary, of a martyr, of someone in the faith who has gone before us and sacrificed and given all for Christ. Because what I have learned over time is that when our hearts are comforted, our callings can be completed. That we are running the risk in our culture of being distracted by entertainment and amusement or being defeated by discouragement, all the ways that we fall short. But the one thing that is necessary, as Jesus told Mary and Martha, is to sit at the feet of the Master, to have your heart daily comforted and encouraged and built up in the Lord so that you can build your life, build your family on the rock that will not move. On the rock that will not crack or be destroyed when the storms of this life come. But when you're in prison, when you're facing a diagnosis, when you're running out of money, when you're facing relational conflict, whatever it may be, there's a God in heaven who wants to comfort you so that in your affliction, you can comfort those who are going through their own. Comforted hearts, sooner or later, lead to completed callings. That's what we want. We want at the end of our life to stand before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who we submitted to here on earth so that we can be free for eternity, exactly who we're made to be. And we want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Because comforted hearts, they'll lead to completed callings. Can we thank God for his word this morning? Thank you, Lord, for your word. Come on, you knew better than that. You're not clapping for me. We're thanking God for his word. Thank you, God, for your word. Amen, amen, amen. Well, hey, as I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to take some time now to metabolize and digest what we've learned so far. We're going to get a little messy, get a little rowdy. If you're not used to this, if it's your first time with us, welcome to Providence. This is how we do things around here. We're a little weird, and we like it that way. We hope you do, too. So we're going to break up into groups of three or four. Please, no more than four. Everybody wave your fours. Hold up four fingers. Wave them at me. No more than four groups of three or four. And we're going to answer these three questions on the screen behind me, and they're in your little handy-dandy booklet as well. Reflection questions. Like Tychicus, how has the letter of Colossians comforted your heart? Start thinking back through things that you've heard from Emmanuel or Josh or myself over the or Katie Larson over the past 10 weeks. Like Tychicus, how has the letter of Colossians comforted your heart? You got a pen there with you. Maybe you want to start jotting down some thoughts, thinking through how you might respond to that question. Like Epaphras, Epaphras, who can you contend for in believing prayer? Like Archippus, what ministry do you sense God calling you to complete? We're going to take about 1 minute of just kind of silent reflection. Maybe we could put on a little Spotify music or something quietly in the background. Just take a minute, start thinking through these three questions. And then in just a few seconds, we're going to break up into groups, and I'll give some instructions on how to do that in just a moment. All right, good job. We're going to break up into groups of four, and I'm going to ask you two things. Number one is I would encourage you to find someone you don't know. I saw somebody look like, oh, God. But find someone you don't know, maybe someone new at church or someone who you've seen for a while, and you're like, I would love to get to know that person. Please mix it up a little bit. Let's not just be kind of in our own comfortable crews or even with our family members. You may need to go across the room. That's okay. We want to mix it up. We're creating space for this morning to reflect on all that God has taught us. So that's number one. And then number two, I failed and ran out of time to translate this into Spanish. And so I regret that deeply. But thankfully, many of you are bilingual or you are Spanish speakers. So if you see someone who is ESL or maybe English only and you speak Spanish, would you please go to that brother and sister and help them with this? That would mean a lot to me personally, and I know it would benefit them as well. So thank you for being the body this morning. So we're going to throw 9 minutes on the screen, 9 minutes on the clock. I'll give kind of some prompts to let you know when it's time to move on to the next question. But this isn't your TED Talk. Just take 60 seconds per person to answer each one of these three questions. We'll keep it moving. I'll give you time prompts after 9 minutes or so. We'll come back out, and we've actually set up these microphones. I'll give some more instructions in a second for how to do that, but this would kind of be a corporate testimony of the word. Sound good? Anybody have questions? Is that clear? All right, 3, 2, 1, go. Break up into your groups. 9 minutes. 9 minutes on the clock. Let's discuss these questions together. All right, we are going to give you a chance to share two things. All right, clap once you can hear my voice. Clap twice you can hear my voice. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We're going to share two things. Number one, what did you learn in your group? So I would love to hear something that was shared in your group that you learned, like, oh, that was a new thought. I hadn't heard that before. Or maybe two, it was something you appreciated, about what was shared in your group. Like this person, you know, if it's confidential or something, obviously don't share that. Use discretion. But you learned something new or you appreciated something from the group. How would you answer these questions? How are these questions answered in your group? And Cynthia, could you actually put 10 minutes on the clock once more? And we're just going to take 10 minutes. I want to hear from as many people as possible. So please, 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 I will go full on presidential debate on you, and we will mute these microphones if you go too long. So only share 30, 60 seconds max. I'll interrupt you. I'm not afraid to do it. We're going to cut you off. We want to hear from as many people as possible. So we're going to put 10 minutes on the clock. Share, what did you appreciate? What did you learn from this sermon series from your group as you discuss? So microphones are open. Go ahead and approach them. If you've not done this before, you can squeeze this little lever and it'll go up and down. No need to touch the microphone. Rachel will take care of that in the back. So go ahead and share. What did you learn? What did you appreciate? What did you hear in your group that you think would be of value for the rest of the church?
can make this very fast. Good morning, God's people. What I learned in my group, I had the pleasure of having Miriam in my group as well as Val. Just that they're very mindful about what we discussed. What I appreciate is that Val shared with us, as you all know, she had suffering with a long-term illness, and she has been healed, which is a blessing. Amen. But she shared with me, which I really appreciated. We were talking about callings, and she was saying how she felt that with her experience of going through long-term healing, it's compelling her to reach out to people who, in turn, are dealing with the same thing.
Wow.
And, you know, she's been texting them, checking on them, praying with them. So I think that's a blessing, and I think what we learned in our group is that when we're comforted that we know that we go through things, that God will help us and bless us because we can relate to suffering.
That's what it's all about. Blessed to be a blessing. Thank you, Sister Sherry. That was awesome. Somebody else, share what you heard in your group, something you appreciated, something you learned, something that you feel like will benefit the rest of the congregation. Thank you, Sister Cheryl.
I was impressed with Rick and Debbie. They're inspiring to do missionary work, and I wish I could do that. I don't feel called, but I really don't want to do it, I'm gonna be honest. But unless there's something God calls me to do. But I was impressed by them talking about missionary work that they're called to do. Somebody said they heard a song called "Lord, Don't Call Me to Africa." I'm like that. Lord, don't call me to Africa.
There's a reason most of us aren't missionaries, so thank you guys for your service. We appreciate you. We can end this and go back to worship. I was not expecting this. We have so many chatty Cathys in our church. Anybody have something you feel like would benefit the group, something you can share that was heard in your group? Share it for others. Noah.
Real quick, I appreciated the folks in my group, how they their heart for loving their children. And so I think going back to the first question about who we can be warring for in prayer, I would just encourage everyone to pray for our parents and our younger generation and just that they would develop a heart for God.
That's good. Thank you, Noah. Courtney.
Yeah. One thing that was helpful in our group, one person said that there are people that can't be in relationship with, but have this heaviness and brokenness for them. And because there's like this gap, they can't be in relationship, what they can do is pray. And that's the only way to like approach and to be into, you know, trying to help or trying to be in relationship when you physically can't or emotionally, mentally can't. But that is something we can do and we are called to.
That's good. That's a really great reminder. Sometimes we feel like prayer doesn't make that big of a difference, but it can sometimes make the only difference. Faith.
In our group, somebody talked about the mission that God has put on us to go forward to completion. And I was encouraged, I think it's encouraging to hear that even though you may have a mission from God and you're like, yes, I'm going to do all this and like feel really inspired from deep within, it still is work. And you can have highs and lows and you can be a little burnt out and emotionally tapped. And that doesn't mean that the mission has gone away and that God is not still there.
It's a great word. It's good. Yeah, Rayanne.
Hello?
Is the light on?
It just turned on. All right, we're good now. You think I know how to use one of these because I'm up there. But we don't, so it's fine. I'm going to try to talk because I'm the one who doesn't really talk that much. But I'm going to talk about I appreciate us all talking about our kids. I'm going to try it without crying. I don't think it'll happen.
You can cry. It's okay.
My parents, like, really saved my life through prayer. So I just want to encourage everybody to, like, pray for your kids. Because it matters. Amen. And so a lot of people here know like my story and a lot don't, but
I now have 4 kids, and I fully believe in praying for them, because I'm 30 now, and my parents' prayer saved me and brought me to the Lord later, so just pray for your kids.
Amen. Thank you, Rayan. Maybe one or two more. Anybody want to share something you learned or you appreciated from the series, something that was said in your group that you feel like would benefit the whole? All right, we'll go Brenna and then Trey.
All right, let's see. We got it. Okay. I mean, so many things, but I think one of the things I really appreciated, E, was your sermon where you gave the opportunity for us to sit with ourselves as we sat with God and as we sat with Scripture. And I think all of us carry stories that are so formative for how we can know God, how we can know others, how we can know ourselves, and kind of bring those together in a really precious way. And so I just think that the tact and the thoughtfulness and the care that you used to invite that into this space in a relational and in a communal way was brave, number one. Who knew what people were going to get up here and say? But also was just, could be really, really healing. And I'm thankful for a church that invites that and did that through this really beautiful book. So thank you.
Thank you, Brenna. Thank you, E.
I know that Rayanne already said something about Ray and Patty, but I'm going to lay it on. Ray and Patty were in my group, and Patty said that she wanted to contend for her family. It reminded me of my mom and a faithful presence as an older woman, and I was just really thankful for that. But I'm thankful to be in a church with strong women like Patty, and thankful for the way she contends for her family, but also for our church, and it's just an example for all of us, I think. So I wanted to say that. Thankful for both Ray and Patty, but specifically Patty and the way she contends for her family and for us.
Awesome. Thank you, Trey. That's good. Good word. Got 2 more minutes if you're itching to share. Don't be scared. All right, Emmanuel.
Yesterday, I was with some friends, and we were talking last night at dinner. We're talking about the church and what's happening. And we're talking about just our society and just what people are taught, what we are receiving here in America. And I remember what Josh's sermon series, the two-parter, how the gospel's bigger and greater and better, you can keep going, more spectacular, more excellent than the ideas we receive in the world today. And I specifically remember saying to this person yesterday, what stands out to me still is that what the world offers you is this idea that you come from nothing. Right, you're a random instance. If there's no God, you come from nothing. If there's no standard, you come from nothing. Along with that, right now, you are nothing. Right, I use you to get what I want from you. You do the same thing, and so we're basically nothing to each other. And then we're going towards nothing. Right, and that's a very dark ideology that most of us don't know by accepting philosophies, thoughts from the world that have some truth in them, you might say, but ultimately will lead to failure. As opposed to what the gospel offers you, that you come from love. Amen. You are loved, and you're heading towards love, and your life and all that you are has a purpose and a meaning, and that is love. And that really stood out to me, so thank you, Josh, for that message.
All right, Martha, last one. Bring us home.
So as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. That's my verse, and one of them. From Colossians. I have Colossians as my life book. And as I received him by faith and not knowing very much and as a child. And it's still there. I still need to walk by faith every day. And the other thing is just the supremacy of Christ. You know, he is my life, he is my all, he is my ruler, my shepherd, my lover, and I just really have appreciated this series, and it's really ministered to me and encouraged me to continue to walk.
Praise God. Awesome. Thank you, Martha. Let's give it up for everyone who shared. Thank you so much. I am so grateful for you and to you, and I pray that this was a helpful exercise. Maybe you didn't get to share and process every single thing that you wanted to, but Paul says in another letter in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, you yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. And so Providence Bible Church has never been about information transput only. Right? We want to actually apply God's word to our life. And when we do, we're blessed in the doing. So I would just want to kind of close with this question for you to consider. How will your letter read? If it's true that we are living letters, that we are alive epistles, how will the life of our letter read to a world that is watching and waiting and wondering, is there a God big enough for the hope that I have inside? I hope that they'll be able to read your life. I hope they'll read our life as a community of believers and say, yes, there is a God in heaven who saves, sets free, and redeems.